Now in a black sky, a sliver of sunlight crests the Earth. Rays of light shoot off the continents, and a three-dimensional word orbits the planet. Universal. A web address appears. www.universalstudios.com. Now a woman dances in silhouette in front of a screen pulsing psychedelic colors. A DJ works a turntable. At the edge of a dance floor, a man with long moosed hair and a stubby Fu Manchu mustache scans the crowd. A cocoa-skinned woman with thick hair peers over his shoulder. The clubgoers' waving arms obscure the faces of people at the other end of the room. The mustached man whispers into the ear of the cocoa-skinned woman. He moves past a goateed African-American man in a sharp suit and slips down onto the recessed dance floor. Black light glows on the closely packed dancing clubgoers. Standing against a pillar, a woman with curly blonde hair looks around casually. In the crowd, a stocky man with a shaved head does the same. Now, a video feed shows a bedroom. On the roof, a dark-haired man folds shut a portable monitor connected to an electrical box. He grabs his jacket and heads for a door. Back in the nightclub, the mustached man moves through the crowd. He steps up to a female bartender and drops a $100 bill.
Hey, darling. Two Bacardi mojitos and a gin and tonic.
Lemon or lime?
Lime.
He gives her a rakish stare.
Where are you from?
Lisboa. That's in Portugal.
You got your tan in Miami?
Meeting his smile, the bartender hands over the drinks. Across the room, the cocoa-skinned woman holds a glass to her smirking lips, back at the bar.
What's your name?
Rita.
Rita. Sunny.
They clink glasses and drink.
See you later, Rita.
He moves off across the dance floor. Outside, a white Range Rover speeds past a velvet rope, then parallel parks near the entrance. Another white Range Rover pulls up nearby. A man in a white open-collar shirt climbs out of the driver's seat of the first vehicle. A beefy man exits the front passenger seat. Three girls accompany the man in the white shirt into the club, followed by his beefy companion. A doorman lets in five more clubgoers waiting at the front of a line, then blocks the entrance with a velvet rope. Inside, Sonny squeezes through the crowd as the man in the white shirt crosses the dance floor.
Hey, Michael.
The stocky man faces him.
Can you dig?
Hey, baby.
Michael reaches into his pocket.
Here you go.
The man in the sharp suit watches from across the room.
Let me hear you now.
No. Please, put it away. You cool. Hit me later.
The blonde woman watches from the pillar like a statue. Michael notices one of the three girls looking down glumly.
Which one, number three?
The pimp looks over his shoulder. As the girl swoons, the beefy man holds her steady.
Sick, man.
The pimp smiles at Michael with heavy-lidded eyes.
That's cool. I'll go with two. It's supposed to be that.
He moves off with the other two girls. The pimp nods to the beefy man, who grabs the sick girl. Watching from across the club, the man in the sharp suit frowns. The beefy man drags the sick girl through the crowd, followed by the pimp. The sharp-dressed man steps down onto the dance floor. A woman in a black top with a plunging neckline pumps her arms as she whips her head from side to side. Three screens around the DJ's stand show colorful abstract imagery. Michael heads upstairs with his arms around the two prostitutes. The sharp-dressed man pushes his way through the crowd roughly. The blonde woman moves to the bar and takes out a cell phone. Its display shows the video feed from the bedroom where the two prostitutes paw at Michael. Across the room, the cocoa-skinned woman frowns and wets her lips. Back at the bar, the dark-haired man from the roof peers at the blonde cell phone. The sharp-dressed man pushes and shoves his way through the crowd. Sonny follows. The sharp-dressed man sidles around a block pillar.
Do you know how much I'm losing to my
dad? Behind a doorway, the pimp punches the sick girl. The sharp-dressed man hurries after them and gets stopped by the beefy man. He breaks the larger man's fingers and knocks him down. He stomps on his groin, then continues his pursuit. The girl, her pimp, and some of his men move for the exit. A blonde man grabs their pursuer from behind. Sonny takes the blonde man down with two quick moves.
Easy, easy.
The pimp and his entourage disappear behind closing elevator doors. Sonny and his partner frown.
Neptune should ease up on the merchandise.
Flip the girls upstairs. We got his day will come.
Hello.
Holding his cell phone to his ear, he lowers his head and moves off into darkness.
Hello?
He goes through an exit door to the roof.
Hello?
Sonny?
Yeah? Who's this?
Now a luxury car swerves along a highway. The driver holds a cell phone to his ear.
Sonny?
Alonzo? Alonzo, I can't talk. We're in the middle of a deal right now.
Take care of Leonetta for me. Ask Ricardo to do that. They gave up nothing on you. They're on their own. It's all their deal anyway. Fuck.
Alonzo, what are you talking about?
I'm falling by the house. And then I'm gone. So, whatever you can do for her, okay, Sonny?
Alonzo.
Goodbye.
Alonzo hangs up, back on the nightclub's roof.
What is it? Alonzo Stevens. Something's wrong. Told you to look after Leonetta for her.
At an office.
FBI Miami.
This is Detective Crockett, Miami-Dade PD, patching through to your sack.
Ricardo dials his cell phone. Now a framed photo shows him sitting with Alonzo, a woman, and two children. Shadows cloak the folds of a gold curtain.
Leonetta. Rico, give me a call back as soon as you get a chance.
Around the corner, a gloved, shirtless man looks inside a refrigerator. Among his many tattoos, a swastika marks his neck. Back on the nightclub's roof, Ricardo lowers his cell from his ear. At the FBI office.
This is ASAC, John Fujima.
Detective Crockett.
What's your Miami-Dade badge number, date of birth?
447 Charlie
1292.
447 Charlie 1292.
Ricardo makes another call.
Bobby G is Rico. Hey, that transponder we had on Alonzo Stevens Bentley is still running?
When's the last time we used it?
I don't know. We ain't worked them in 6 months.
Sonny's profile opens up on a computer.
Okay, so?
One of your deals may be going bad.
A confidential informant we cut loose, you guys. See, his name is Alonzo Stevens. He called us. We haven't spoken to him in 6 months.
How do I discuss this over an open phone line?
How the hell do I know? We got the phone call from Alonzo on an open line. That is the hand we have been dealt at 11:47 o'clock on Saturday night.
Fujima purses his lips.
Now, I do not know what case you have him on, but whatever it is going bad, and it sounds like it is going bad right now.
Meanwhile, near a waterfront, two figures get out of a car. Two others emerge from the darkness and approach them. Back in the FBI office, Fujima shifts hesitantly.
It's a preliminary meet and greet.
At the meeting place, one man holds a gym bag.
Meet and greet. You flash me yours, I flash you mine.
Back on the roof.
Who are you?
Ricardo Tubbs.
My partner.
Yeah, deal goes down another time, another place.
Fujima motions to a subordinate.
So what, no
HOT weapons team out there?
That's right.
Colombians, Russians.
White supremacists.
Back on the roof.
And that tape is not gonna look good in court.
Aryan Brotherhood, Mongols, Nazi lowriders, what?
We think
Aryan Brotherhood. But we do not know for sure.
The detective's three squad mates approach.
What's up?
Good Michael out of this.
What about Neptune?
It's Neptune's lucky night.
Back at the FBI office.
What else did Stevens tell you?
He said that it went bad. That he didn't give us up. Told us goodbye.
Now a helicopter flies over the city. Michael Switek and the dark-haired man, Zito, ride inside.
Rico, we got the Bentley. Just got on the 95 southbound from the 195 causeway.
Now a Ferrari passes other cars. Ricardo sits in the passenger seat while Sonny drives. Blue flames spurt from the twin exhaust pipes. Sonny flicks a small gear shift paddle on the steering wheel, and the Ferrari weaves across lanes. His long hair billows in the open air. Back at the meet and greet, a craggy-faced skinhead chews gum.
We got meth, ice, glass, E's, K's, X, Mitsus, Ames, Colombian H, ice.
A dark-haired Aryan tosses one of the Russians a sample.
Party down with the coke. You're looking at 92% pure. I'd like that jumped-on powder they sell up in New York.
The other undercover agent tosses down the gym bag, and the craggy-faced leader picks it up.
Never seen green?
The skinhead removes a stack of cash. He bites the cap off a felt-tip pen and marks the top bill. One of the Russians, a greasy-haired man, grins at a bearded thug.
You got the green. You got the goods.
He throws back the bag.
We party. Larry will call you in the AM about quantity and money, time and place.
He walks off. The bearded thug speaks into a walkie-talkie as the Aryans return to their vehicles. Their leader turns around.
Hey, Ivan. My brother.
The greasy-haired Russian pauses at the door to his car. In the shadows, snipers aim rifles.
How long have you been working with the FBI?
The greasy-haired Russian jumps into the front passenger seat of his car. The snipers and the bearded thug open fire. In the Russian's car, the undercover FBI agents jolt as bullets rip through their bodies and travel through their leather seats. The driver's right arm rips off, and an explosive round blows a hole out the back of his seat. Chewing gum, the craggy-faced Aryan leader marches back and grabs the gym bag. The bearded thug covers him with his assault rifle. Meanwhile, the helicopter flies over the highway, shining a searchlight on Alonzo's Bentley. Sonny's Ferrari pulls up alongside the car. Alonzo complies. The Ferrari stops in front of his car and the detectives jump out. Alonzo exits the Bentley.
Stay back! What do you do?
I fronted their undercover team to these guys like usual, you know? They're feds, Russian speakers.
I was the middleman. What, 15%?
Yeah, to set up the meet.
He hands a crumpled piece of paper to Ricardo, who unfolds it.
They grabbed Leonetta.
The sharp-dressed detective shows the page to his partner.
He took Leonetta.
It shows a photo printout of his wife with a thick duct tape cord around her neck.
I gave him up, man. Gave up the feds. Everything. Everything I knew. Rico, I gotta go home.
Got people there, man.
Meanwhile, a SWAT team hurries toward a travertine-walled house back on the highway.
How do they get onto you, Lonzo?
How the hell do I know? They knew one rush was FBI from the get-go, so they knew I knew.
He wears an agonized scowl.
Rico, I gotta go.
Lonzo! Lonzo!
Ricardo holds his cell to his ear.
Rico, I gotta
Lonzo.
Go. I gotta go.
Lonzo!
Fucking go! Hello.
At the Stevens house, a pair of legs lies sprawled behind the gold curtain. In riot gear, the blonde detective talks on a phone. Back on the highway, Ricardo winces.
You don't...
Alonzo gapes fearfully as he sees the detective's furrowed brow.
You don't,
He looks the informant squarely in the eyes.
You don't need to go home.
Sweat beads on Alonzo's forehead, and his face seizes sorrowfully. He shakes his head.
They said they wouldn't hurt.
They lied.
Sonny gives Alonzo a sympathetic look. The informant looks around aimlessly. Veins bulge on his forehead. He looks from Sonny to Ricardo, then to the taillights of cars cruising past them on the highway. The informant steps out into a traffic lane.
Alonzo!
The detectives step for him, then jump back. A truck speeds by, leaving behind a bloody streak. Now the other members of the team meet with the portly supervisor.
Prints on the fridge.
Hold on.
He takes out a cell phone. In Sonny's Ferrari.
Yeah.
Where are you? What's your QTH?
It's a couple of blocks away, we can see the lights.
Turn around.
Turn around? Look, we know these people.
Meet me in 15 minutes, Standard Park.
The portly supervising officer hangs up, then moves through a crowd of policemen. Now, Sonny's Ferrari drives up the winding ramps of a parking structure to the open rooftop. As it parks on the empty level, two men stroll out of the shadows. Sonny and Ricardo exit the convertible and march toward them, bathed in the faint glow of the surrounding skyscrapers.
What the hell just happened?
What was that?
Who's this?
He needs to talk to you.
I'm Fujima. We talked on the phone.
So this was your operation?
Yes,
we
command level.
We introduced Alonzo to you and you got his whole family killed? What, did you jump some amateurs into a game they ain't ready for?
What the fuck happened, man? Treyan got killed.
So cool down.
Sonny and Ricardo shift on their feet. The slick-haired op leader faces them.
They discovered my guys were undercover, and we don't know how. This was an interagency task force. DEA, ATF, U.S. Customs. The leak could have come from any one unit. I gotta assume my operational security is compromised.
Compromised? Your whole OPSEC is blown. You're stone cold dead in the water.
Meanwhile, does not track. White supremacist gang?
White prison gangs is tweakers and meth labs and trailer parks.
Bouncing the old lady around until they get busted back.
And how do they get all high-tech with sophisticated counter-intel?
Ricardo raises a brow at the task force leader.
And what were we here talking to you for anyway?
Miami-Dade wasn't part of the task force.
Oh.
They don't know you.
So you want to recruit us?
Identify them. Who are they? How did they cut into us?
How do we get into them? How do we get old close and personal with?
Make a buy. That worked well.
Sell to them? We supply them?
No, they got a steady stream of supply. Colombian named Jose Yero, mid-level trafficker.
Okay. So what about Yero? Can we get to them through Yero?
Possible.
What does he need? Money laundering, transport?
Transport. He outsources his transportation.
Okay. Do we run an undercover in Jose Yero?
Fujima studies Sonny.
So we transport a load for Yero into this group? So can we run a load for Yero into this group? That's a question.
He transships out of Haiti. Buys his product in from Colombia, hires someone to run it from Haiti into here.
Fujima's laptop shows an aerial view of two speedboats.
This is a FLIR image of someone's go-fast boats running in a Yero load.
AWAC shot it.
The four engine boats race side by side.
That's all we got.
The detectives shift their eyes to their portly superior.
All right. If they do this, I'd like them deputized as federal under OSADEF for the purposes of this case.
Fine by me.
Because your OPSEC is blown, your agency can't know anything about how they do whatever it is they do.
That's why I came along. Thank you.
Sorry about your men.
Fujima glances back as he walks off. Ricardo firmly rubs his eyes.
What'd you spot?
Go-fast boats running that close. On radar, they look like one, not two. Total darkness. And those are skill sets. Plus, it runs 4250 Mercs off a DP hull.
Sal Magood.
He that good?
Oh, yeah.
Now a night vision view shows a man mopping a docked go-fast boat.
Bleaching it down. Must have just unloaded.
Crouching yards away, Sonny and Ricardo spy on the worker, then creep from their hiding spot. Later, they don black ski masks.
Who are
we? Azure Creole.
Now a vice squad member aims a grenade launcher at some warehouse doors. Three other agents clad in black flank him as he fires. Inside, flechette impacts destroy the lock, frightening two workers. A pickup truck backs up to a table laden with brick-like bundles. The masked team swarms in. One member clad in black knocks out a man reaching for a shotgun. The intruders quickly tie up the warehouse crew.
You know whose low this is?
Hey, man, Bushu. What are you doing?
A masked agent smacks one guy's head, then covers it with a pillowcase. The rest of the team quickly loads the wrapped bundles into the pickup truck. Sonny yanks off his mask and opens the warehouse's rear doors. As Ricardo follows him out, Sonny hurries between the two docked go-fast boats. He pulls the pins on two canister grenades. He tosses one into each boat, then he and Ricardo dash off. Flames explode 10 feet into the air. Daytime. In the Ferrari, Ricardo uses his cell phone while Sonny drives along the waterfront. In a lavish beachfront condo, a man answers.
Hello?
Hey, Nicholas. My ace. What's up?
Everything's good. You?
We good. We all good. As a matter of fact, we're looking to charge up your cash flow. Hold on.
He passes Sonny the phone.
Nicholas, how you doing?
Sonny, what's up?
Somebody, something's gotta go somewhere, somewhere. Not too distant in the future. Except he had transport problems.
Later, the squad convenes at Nicholas's condo.
Call Columbia.
Man, that's Jose Yero.
Really?
He is AUC, you know? Colombian right-wing paramilitaries. You know who they are? They are vertically integrated.
You mean they walk around with constant erections?
No. They farm, process, produce, export.
I know what it means.
No, see, it gives them attitude. A player negotiates too hard and you never hear from him again because these guys kill everything. I gotta know what's the skinny.
It's none of your fucking business.
It can come back on me, baby.
Can't come back on you, baby.
Am I sure of that?
Hey, Sunshine, when has Rico or Sonny ever lied to you? Huh? I mean, when has anything Rico told you not to happen exactly like he said?
Sonny stares at the ocean through the condo's floor-to-ceiling windows.
It's just variables, you know? Randomness, see? That's why.
That's why what?
Well, why, like, if you can't deliver, this group goes from zero to high order violence like that.
You made a 15% commission off three money laundering prosecutions I put you into. You know, which is why you live in your $4 million condo and you question Rico and Sonny.
Oh.
Fuck that. I will cap your skanky ass and throw it off that goddamn balcony.
Yeah, then we can kick back and watch Marlon's highlights on this 65-inch plasma.
After we clean this place up, don't you ever put anything away?
Plus, he's gonna commission Jose Yero for putting you to Jose Yero. Anybody looking at his ill-gotten gains? IRS looking into his shit?
Any reason this does not go down?
That's the sound of air rapidly filling the vacuum created by your departed body.
On account of how fast I remanded your ass back into custody.
Why is this happening to me?
Because you lead a life of crime.
Can't do time, don't mess with crime.
He's cool. You make the call.
Sonny and Ricardo lead Nicholas out of the room. The cocoa skin detective, Trudy, follows the man closely with her narrowed gaze. Later, Ricardo leans against a tiled wall as a showerhead drenches him. Beyond the steamy glass, a naked woman approaches. It's Trudy. She opens the door and steps into the shower with him. Ricardo flinches, then relaxes as her fingers touch his shoulder, and she lathers soap on his back. Trudy smiles as she runs the bar along his muscular side. She pats him lightly, and they trade places. Ricardo rubs her back, and she playfully pushes him away. Stepping out of the shower, he points a thumb to the side, and Trudy nods with a smile. As he leaves, she shuts the glass door. Later, she walks into a bedroom, wrapped in a towel, and finds Ricardo asleep on the bed.
Hey, you. Wake up.
She crawls onto the bed and straddles him.
Excited to see me?
They lean together and kiss. Ricardo rolls her onto her back, and Trudy's bare leg curls up around his side. She runs her long fingers over Ricardo's smooth back. As he undulates, she grips the back of his head and buries her face between his neck and shoulder. Ricardo increases his speed, and Trudy's brow knits passionately. As Ricardo goes still, her bent knee falls to the side.
I'm just joking.
Ricardo playfully rocks on top of her.
Why are you hiding from me?
Their cheeks press firmly together and Trudy grins.
I'd quickly give my freedom.
Later, Ricardo lies still on top of her as Trudy rubs his back.
To be held in your captivity.
As Trudy's fingers caress his shoulders, she smiles and falls asleep. Later, Sonny sets a coffee pot on its burner.
Any word?
Nothing.
In a spotless White House, he sets a mug before Ricardo and takes a seat across the table from him. Ricardo's lover enters in a bathrobe. Sonny glances at her.
Hey, Trudy. Hey, Sonny.
Hey, Trudy. How you doing, though?
Who are we?
It's the same fabricated fundamentals as before.
She opens a laptop file.
Rico. 3-5 on assault, 4th and B-Wing, Pelican Bay, Sunny, Marine Corps, Chicago, and 10-plus weapons, 5 out of 8. Jump parole, Pelican Bay, where you guys hooked up. And then it goes cold. Because presumably you're both too smart and too fast to get jacked again.
What about this place?
It'll show up least under these aliases.
How they test?
Who tested them?
Eileen, in NYPD. And she worked through your false identities. And then she found your deeper hidden, more criminal selves.
Now an aerial view coasts over a lush forested riverbank with a vast city nestled beyond. Words appear, Ciudad del Este, on the tri-borders of Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. On a littered street, a lanky young man walks at a brisk pace, his relaxed hand dangling at his side. He strides along with a crowd passing through a covered mall. Armed soldiers stand among the public within. On a balcony overlooking billboard-covered walls, two men chat casually, enjoying espresso on a bench. Another man talks on a cell phone nearby. Now the lanky young man strides closer. A small device peeks out of his curled fingers. He hands the slim item to one of the espresso drinkers, who hands it to his companion, who then hands it to a man waiting with a motorcycle helmet. The new courier pockets the item and walks off as the two espresso drinkers continue their chat. Now the motorcyclist speeds up to a crowded intersection. He weaves down a street choked with pedestrians and advertising. The motorcyclist reaches the other end, where two armed men in tactical vests watch the crowd. Nighttime. A giant neon roulette wheel turns above a secluded casino. Inside, a dealer spins a real roulette wheel. Cash flips in automatic money counters. The courier strides into the back offices with the slim device peeking from his fingers. He takes it to a rear desk, where a bearded man with narrow glasses accepts it. The recipient uncaps the device and plugs it into his computer. Police files appear on his screen. The files show Sonny and Ricardo's mugshots, records, and fingerprints. The man studies the information gravely. Now Nicholas uses his condo phone. Meanwhile, Ricardo kisses Trudy goodbye.
He's in. Your own. The meet's in Haiti. I'll negotiate the price in person. Call me after you've landed in Port-au-Prince, because only when you're on the ground will he tell me where you are to go.
Lightning flashes on the horizon outside his windows. At the leased house, Trudy watches Sonny and Ricardo exit with large duffel bags. Daytime, a private jet soars along black-bellied clouds. In the cockpit, Ricardo pilots the plane. A headset's mouthpiece curves toward his lips.
Approaching Dakar, turning to heading 340 down to 6,000 feet. Clear through the Atlas runway 10 for the approach to Port-au-Prince.
The plane banks over the clouds into a blue sky. Now in the back of a white SUV, Sonny gazes at rundown storefronts along a busy, narrow street. Zito looks back from the front seat. As the vehicle pulls to the curb, the vice detectives get out and walk past many locals who gaze coolly at them. Sonny glances warily over his shoulder as he and his partner head down a sidewalk. On a balcony, two young men standing in the bright sunlight frown at the passing strangers. A pot-bellied gunman watches them, leaning against a doorway's gate.
Why do I get the feeling everybody knows we're here 15 blocks out?
Because everybody knows we're here 15 blocks out?
A kid in shorts sits on a roof's edge, watching them. A chipped wall mural depicts a wide-eyed face. They pass a soldier holding an assault rifle against his chest. Another waves them across the street, passing women in brightly colored dresses. The kid watches two gunmen lead Sonny and Ricardo down an alley. From open doorways, more gunmen emerge from dimness and fall in behind. They usher the detectives through a wooden gate and down a narrow passage to an open staircase. They descend into a spacious room with concrete pillars and empty restaurant tables. At the bottom, a woman stands beside a homemade candlelit shrine. Sonny and Ricardo raise their hands as two muscular men quickly pat them down. Finding no weapons, the men lead the newcomers to a table where the bearded man with narrow tinted glasses sits surrounded by standing bodyguards.
Sit.
The man shakes Sonny's hand.
Well, sit.
Sonny Burnett. It's my partner, Ricardo.
They sit. The thugs move away.
You for coming down.
So let's lay it out.
Nicolas said you run a tight group. That's nice, because we got product that's got to move.
Real tight. You move as fast as FedEx.
Move to where?
To New York, through South Florida.
Move when?
Right now.
It's kind of all of an instant.
That means only one thing, real fast. So price, is it right?
Zito and Switek follow a woman in.
Price is right. But how I know if you any good at this shit?
Ricardo shifts in his chair, smiles, and leans toward Yero.
What's that?
Yeah, your business. How much volume you do? Whose product you move? Who you work with? Other than Nicolas? Who the fuck knows you?
Zito's group sits at a far table.
Well, my mommy and daddy know me.
Yero fixes on Sonny's gaze.
And we don't talk about who we work with.
We didn't come down here to audition for business. Business auditions for us.
The guards slowly move closer, some pulling pistols from their belts.
And knows all about us before they call Nicolas. That way we don't waste Avgas. Or our motherfucking time.
As the guards take aim, Zito springs to his feet and tosses Sonny a grenade. Sonny pulls the pin and holds the clamp down as he raises his hands. Yero sits calmly as Sonny shows him the explosive.
You want us to be telling you about our shit? You can't find out on your own. Why do I not buy that?
You with DEA, the feed? What's up? They talking about transport line? You with the man?
You wearing a wire?
As Sonny checks Yero's silk jacket, the guards point their guns at the vice detective's heads. Sonny rubs a finger over the grenade.
I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. People gonna come in here, you know what they're gonna say? They're gonna look around and they're gonna go, all I hear. That's some crazy motherfucking wallpaper. What is it?
Jackson Pollock?
Sonny holds the grenade over the tabletop. Yero eyes them warily.
No vehicle. That was Jose Yero. He got splattered all over his own wall.
So, we can close each other's eyes right now real fast. Then ain't nobody gonna make no money.
Sitting rigidly in his chair, Yero smiles. An Asian woman looks up from another table.
Jose, no jodas más. Habla con ellos.
Sonny peers at the well-dressed woman with her black hair tied tight to her head. The thugs lower their weapons and step away from the negotiators. The well-dressed woman folds her fingers and watches carefully.
So let's talk equipment.
Atom A500s, carbon composite. Real stealthy, 1,400 nautical mile range, low and slow. We like caravels and 727s to move the product from source countries to transshipment places like here.
Big loads, we like containers. Smaller loads into South Florida, we do go-fast boats.
So what's the weight?
First, let's talk logistics.
Okay.
You pick up a load, you fly it in the hole, we tell you the drop point, and our people then move it on up the road.
Not so fast. People at the drop point are our people, not yours. You know, so there's no tweakers, dopers, first-timers. People we don't know. They didn't do time with us, they ain't doing crime with us.
Once we pick up the load, the next time you hear from us, it'll be a date, time, and a place. Like, there's an 18-wheeler in a parking lot in North Miami with the keys in the ignition. You pick it up, you drive away. Smooth. That's how we do it.
Yero thoughtfully drops his gaze.
So when you looking to move it?
Never. Because how you drop loads, I don't like. So maybe this don't work.
Then it don't work.
Red light, green light, Jose.
They also call me Cochiloco.
That means crazy big.
Because I run security... and counter intel, I get people to tell me what they don't ever want to say. And I have eyes everywhere. That part of what I do, you never want to find out about. Other people negotiate money and go, no go, yes, no, maybe so.
Yero shakes his head.
Not me.
So what the hell are we talking to you for?
I had to lay my eyes on you. To see if you go meet the man.
Ricardo furrows his brow slightly, glances to Sonny, and narrows his gaze on Yero.
And?
Yero leans across the table, close to Ricardo's face.
You seem okay.
He points to Sonny.
But him? I don't like how he looks.
Do you want to fuck my partner? Or do you want to do business with us? Because I don't give a shit how you think he looks.
Wait by the phone in the hotel. You get a call, or maybe you don't. And then you can piss off back to where you come from.
Sonny stares at Yarrow and slowly leans forward in his chair. He and Ricardo stand. As they pass the well-dressed woman, she lowers her serene gaze. The bodyguards frown at the departing newcomers. Yarrow remains in his chair, lifts a tumbler of whiskey, and downs its contents. Now at the hotel, Sonny and Ricardo enter an upper-floor doorway with guns drawn. They sidle slowly through the area's central hallway, quickly securing the rooms. The detectives step around simple furnishings. Ricardo opens a pair of shuttered doors sloppily painted a slightly darker green than the walls. He steps out onto a small balcony. Holstering his pistol, Sonny exits onto a second balcony beside the first. Later, he unzips a bag. They remove several weapons.
Yura said New York through South Florida. And this load does not go to the Miami group.
Let me take load number two.
As they load pistols, Sonny checks an assault rifle, Ricardo a shotgun. Sonny tucks one pistol behind his back. Ricardo answers his cell phone.
Keep the call.
He looks out the balcony doors, then hangs up.
That was fast.
He pockets his phone. Now near a beach with gently breaking waves, Switek holds a gun and gazes toward the blue horizon. In a gutted building, Sonny paces past empty windows with a jacket slung over his forearm. He wanders out to a patio with low walls, joining Ricardo. Cito stands guard on a blackened stone walkway.
4 hours, it's taking us around, call it.
Ricardo eyes his wristwatch and shrugs.
Sit. Let's go.
Ricardo grabs a jacket off a shaded section of the colonnade wall and they leave the deserted structure. Cito and Switek emerge and follow them to a vehicle parked in front of the burnt-out complex. Now our view scans the hotel's rooftop. Sooty smudges mar its chipped blue and white paint. Sonny and Ricardo approach their room, following fluted ionic columns along the upper walkway. At the door, Sonny draws his sidearm. The detectives step to either side of the door and listen warily. Ricardo kicks it open, aiming his shotgun. Yarrow's gunmen sit with their weapons on a table before them. More thugs fill the dirty suite.
Put your guns on the table.
The detectives comply. The Asian woman waits in the main room.
We didn't bring you here to kill you. If we want you dead, you'd be no longer drawing breath in Miami.
Seated in a wicker armchair, the well-dressed woman removes sunglasses and folds her arms.
3,000 a kilo on small loads.
Thought we had to meet the man.
You do.
Where's that?
Right now.
Now, in the back of a moving sedan, the well-dressed woman stares soberly ahead in the darkness. In the front passenger seat, a burly thug with dark stubble on his shaved head peers over his shoulder at her. In a second sedan, Sonny checks his cell phone and shows Ricardo its blank screen.
Full signal, no service. We jam the phones.
Ricardo checks his cell phone screen, also blank.
This is the type of stuff CIA does. In Baghdad.
Yeah. What's it doing on a dope deal?
The four cars drive close together through town, their headlights shining brightly. The caravan arrives at a blockade. The detectives eye a military flatbed truck and transport vehicles parked alongside soldiers in camouflage. Plastic tarps cover the flatbed's cargo. As the well-dressed woman's sedan snakes around the trucks and drives across a vast lot, guards in civilian clothes level rifles at the Americans in the second car. One opens the rear door.
Out the car.
Sonny and Ricardo get out and raise their hands. The thugs shove them against the car and frisk them. They remove handguns from the detective's waistbands and shoulder holsters. Across the lot, the well-dressed woman enters a guarded black SUV. Interior lights show paneled walls. The thugs point the Americans a few steps toward the lot.
See the three trucks? Move there now.
Shoving Ricardo to Sonny's side, the thugs hang back with their rifles leveled. The Americans walk down a lane toward a cluster of vehicles across the deserted lot. As they walk, a sniper in a tower fixes them in his weapon scope. A stray dog sneaks alongside a guard.
Where'd all the people go?
The Americans eye a group of dark buildings and empty sidewalks on a street on their right. They notice a man in one truck facing computer screens. Sonny and Ricardo approach men stationed near the three trucks. One knocks on the large SUV's door. A window lowers, revealing a man with a thick beard.
Ready, boss?
The bearded man nods, and the detectives enter the custom vehicle. In matching leather armchairs, the woman sits beside the tall, bearded man. The Americans sit facing them.
Excuse me, because I am very busy. I have many things to do, so this will be brief, yes? I will draw you out on one loan. To build trust.
1,000 keys out of Colombia. Your N is 3 million.
And on Maros, when you work for me, you must do exactly what you say you will do. In this business with me, I do not buy a service. I buy a result. If you say you will do a thing, you must do exactly that thing. Then you will prosper beyond your dreams and live in Miami millionaire style.
Sonny spots matching diamond watches on their wrists.
Logistics, communication, security. To do with money and terms, you will work through my Isabella.
The bearded man nods to the woman beside him.
I look forward to our doing more work together. Whether we do or do not, it is unlikely that we will meet again. I extend my best wishes to your families.
Sitting with her arms folded and her shapely legs crossed, Isabella eyes the Americans shrewdly.
Thank you for making this trip to see me.
The bearded man holds his narrow, appraising stare on Ricardo and Sonny, then cocks his head toward the door. As the detectives stand, Sonny glances at Isabella, who casually watches them exit. As the Americans leave, she scoots out of her chair and moves to a seat facing her boss. He eyes her coolly. Outside, the bodyguards climb into the vehicles as the detectives step aside. As the custom vehicles pull away, Sonny watches the drug lord's black SUV. Through its lowered window, Isabella peers out and meets his gaze, lingering on him as the caravan moves away. As the vehicles move down a puddle-splotched lane and turn onto the dimly lit street, Sonny walks away. Now on board an A-500 Atom aircraft, Sonny accepts a wrapped bundle, stacks it on top of others, and straps it securely in place. Up front, Ricardo sits at the controls. His partner pulls the cabin door closed. Now the small front and rear propellered plane speeds down a dirt runway. Words appear. Guajira Peninsula, Colombia. As the plane rises, its shadow glides over the treetops and rocky hillsides. Wearing shades, Ricardo steers the craft through a mountain pass and soars above the jungle landscape. Sonny talks into a headset.
Flight 000 is airborne.
Now on a larger prop plane.
This is November 1206 Sierra.
Zito pilots the larger craft. Meanwhile, Ricardo's plane flies over the misty forests. Veiled in shadow, Sonny stares out the windshield. The plane soars through the vibrant blue sky, past towering white clouds. Now in a tower, several air controllers monitor radar screens.
Radar contact, I'm maintaining 7,000.
November 636 is coming your way from the northwest.
636.
Now, out over the water, the A-500 tails Zito's larger twin-prop plane. As Ricardo gets closer, the planes pass over land. In the tower, two dots appear on the radar screen. A goateed man notices the pair of close signals and wrinkles his brow.
I'm going to maintain 7,000.
King Air 1206 Sierra.
See anything off your right side?
An aerial view shows the A-500 just aft of Zito's plane.
This is November 1206 Sierra. Negative Opalaca.
I got a double hit. There's another plane down.
Aboard the smaller plane, Ricardo lifts his brow and pulls back on the stick. The A-500 rises behind the other craft and matches its altitude. In the tower, a radar dot vanishes, leaving one on screen. Another controller inspects the goateed man's screen.
Ghost, one plane.
The goateed controller eyes it quizzically. Now in the sky, the A-500 banks away from the other plane. Flying low, it glides over a reflective marsh. On the horizon, the sun's golden rays stretch under a ceiling of dark clouds. Distant rainfall makes a wide blue strip against the fading light. Later, on a dock. Sonny answers a satellite phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Burnett. Our client got delivery. Products on the road. Good work.
Yeah, but we had a problem before your client showed up. Somebody tried to rip off the load.
Riding in a car, Yarrow sits forward with a grave expression.
You know a detail shop on 2nd and Overtown?
I do.
Across the street, we found a stash house. 10 a.m. Be there.
Daytime. An SUV pulls up outside a rundown house. Inside, Sonny holds a rifle.
Here we go.
Zito, Ricardo, and Switek stand guard at the door. Zito turns the knob.
Only two.
Yarrow and a brawny thug step inside. As they follow Ricardo, Zito closes and locks the door. Leaning against a wall, Sonny watches the approaching men. They walk down a hall, then turn into a room with a chain-link door. In awe, Yarrow halts and fixes his eyes ahead.
They tried to jack your load. We brought him home. Discovered this.
Yarrow eyes stacked brick-shaped bundles.
Haitians stole these 2 weeks ago. That's my load. This is my product.
How do you know where the drop was?
The trafficker turns to Ricardo, then to Sonny.
How'd they know?
I find out.
The undercover detective studies Yarrow.
See you later.
Yarrow eyes Ricardo's unsmiling face, then heads out of the room. His brawny thug follows. Later in a beach house, Sonny and Ricardo face Yarrow and Isabella.
I see you. I see a load we lost 2 weeks ago. All in the same place.
You don't like us finding your load. We can go ahead and lose it all over again.
And what other suspicions did you mastermind today?
Furrowing his brow, the drug trafficker draws closer to Sonny. As the detective stares at him, Yarrow leans toward Isabella. Subtitles. Ask them how much they want for returning the load.
We want our product back.
Sure.
How much?
How much?
With a hooked brow, Sonny shifts in his chair.
For what?
For recovering that.
Nothing.
Yarrow shoots a puzzled frown.
Nothing?
Consider it an investment. In the future of a fine business relationship.
That is because it's yours. What's yours is yours.
As Isabella cocks her head, Sonny and Yarrow lock in a cold stare.
So is this a one-time deal? Or something else coming up?
Isabella shifts her grave eyes between the two undercover detectives. Both Sonny and Ricardo hold stern poker faces.
Give them the shipment on the 17th.
As Sonny gazes at Isabella, Yarrow notices. Yarrow smiles faintly and nods.
Conveyance.
By ocean. Out of Barranquilla. Jose has details.
Isabella gets up and walks away. Sonny's eyes follow. Outside, several armed thugs walk single file before Isabella. Sonny rises from his chair and heads after her. Ricardo and Yarrow knit their brows.
Lay it out.
You're gonna get the longs and lats for a transshipment point.
Ma'am.
Sonny catches up to Isabella.
Do me one favor.
Yeah?
In return for the risks we took in recovering your load. Allow me to buy you a drink.
A breeze stirs loose strands of her black pulled back hair. Turning away, she faces a nearby docked racing boat.
How fast does that go?
Goes very fast.
She gazes at the detective.
Show me.
Where would you like to go?
What do you like to drink?
I'm a fiend for mojitos.
Isabella draws close to him.
I know a place.
As she heads away down a flight of stairs, Sonny follows.
Pardon.
Ricardo gets his attention from the top of the steps.
I know what I'm doing.
Taking out a pair of sunglasses, Sonny hurries on his way. With a stern face, Ricardo returns to Yarrow.
All right, the secured satellite comms. Longs and lats for the transshipment points, that's all cool, but I need a vector, not a location. Ships move, that's why they call them ships. Ship stops, it's trying to impersonate an apartment building. At sea, that is very suspicious. Brings about attention. AWACS. Coast Guard. U.S. Customs. That's all bad.
Yara watches the racing boat speed away. With a hull like a catamaran's, it leaves a wide, foamy wake. Later, out at sea, Sonny steers the boat.
I take you to the best place for mojitos.
Where's that?
Bodeguilla del Medio.
Oh, the keys?
Isabella smirks.
Havana.
Havana. Cubans don't like my business. And they don't like my passport.
It's okay. The harbor method is my cousin.
As she grins, the detective focuses on her and returns the smile. Both wearing sunglasses, their gazes lock on each other. Isabella removes hers, tilts back her head, and runs a hand through her hair.
Grab the wheel.
As she complies, Sonny peels off his beige blazer. Underneath, he wears a sheer white dress shirt. The top buttons lie open, revealing his tan chest. He stows the jacket in the back, then takes hold of the wheel again.
You do business in Cuba with your husband?
I never do business in Cuba. And Jesus is not my husband.
She fixes her eyes squarely on Sonny, who knits his brow.
I'm a businesswoman. I do not need a husband to have a house to live in.
Sonny glances over, then lets go of the wheel. Leaning over Isabella, he secures a seatbelt across her lap. As he moves away from her, she gazes at him curiously. Isabella rests her head back and focuses on the passing sea. Bouncing along the surface, the racing boat advances across the vast ocean. Puffy cumulus clouds line the horizon before it. Along one side of the sportily detailed boat, decals read 03 Mojo. Charging ahead, the boat hops into the air, lands smoothly, and skips along the calm waves. Nighttime. City lights reflect off the water. Traffic follows a coastal highway past Sonny and Isabella, who sit together at an outdoor club. On the stage, a mustached man and two women perform with a salsa band. As the mustache singer sways and snaps his fingers, Sonny tastes his mint-laced cocktail.
You like the mojito?
Mojito's great.
Isabella focuses on the band. She looks him in the eyes with a faint smile and nods her head toward the floor. As Isabella gets up, Sonny follows. On stage, the performers groove from side to side. Below, on a large dance floor, dozens of couples move to the beat. Sonny walks up to his date and takes her hand in his. Placing his other arm around her waist, he leads them into a forward step. Swinging their hips rhythmically, they spin around, then dance backwards. Sonny twirls Isabella and slides his hand down her curvaceous side. With little space between them, Isabella and Sonny rotate in circles. Keeping his eyes glued to hers, Sonny leads their movement. He spins Isabella under his arm, then pulls her in close. Grinning, she grooves her body against his. He returns a smile and playfully twirls her around. As they sway in unison, Sonny sidesteps around Isabella, then spins her out again. Joyfully, they reconnect in a tight embrace and look into each other's eyes. Inches apart, their lips nearly touch. With their gazes locked, the couple rotate smoothly on the dance floor. Sonny stares deeply at Isabella, then lowers his tense gaze. Now near the water, Isabella draws close to Sonny. She lifts a hand to his unshaven cheek and slides her fingers into his hair. He runs his fingertips along her shoulder. As waves crash along the shore, they move close together. Foreheads touching, they close their eyes. Now in a dark room, Sonny sits bare-chested on a bed. Isabella climbs onto his lap and wraps her arms around his neck. As she presses her naked body to his, Sonny embraces her. He lifts her legs around his waist, then kisses her lips hungrily. Tightly intertwined, their hands explore each other's bare flesh. Sonny slides his fingers behind Isabella's head and looks into her eyes. Meeting his gaze, Isabella grinds on top of him. In the shadows, their upright bodies rock gently. Focusing on her lover, Isabella holds for a moment. With tears in her eyes, she releases a sharp breath, then resumes her movement. As she stares longingly at Sonny, her fingers caress his back. Sonny draws her in closer, hugging her firmly. Isabella rests her head on his shoulder. Her wet eyes glisten. Daytime. In a bar, Isabella orders from a menu. A server nods. Isabella faces Sonny.
You may like it.
Allman Brothers. You know Allman Brothers?
No.
Leonard Skinner, Freebird?
No Skinner.
Well, that was the music back then. And he played all those Atlanta bars. Mm-hmm. But his luck was...
Sonny fondles her hair.
Well, my dad never got lucky. So he started trucking. I didn't see a whole lot of him, but we were close.
Isabella gazes at him warmly.
You look like your mother.
What?
He shrugs.
She died in Angola when I was 16. She was a translator. I show you a photograph. It's from a wedding.
His eyes fix on hers. With a half smile, Isabella returns the stare. The detective turns his head away from her. Outside the window, children scamper by a classic car's white-walled tire.
This is a bad idea.
This is past a bad idea.
And it has no future.
That's right.
I'm sorry. There's nothing to worry about.
As Sonny pulls her in close, Isabella falls back into his arms. She touches his cheek gently and kisses him. Separating, they share a probing gaze. Sonny glances over his shoulder, then takes in her grinning face. Isabella leans her head to his and strokes his mustache. Now on a residential street, a coastal breeze rustles short palm trees. A 50s-era metallic blue car pulls up to a house facing the ocean. As the lovers get out of the back, the car leaves, and Sonny hugs Isabella from behind. She leads him to the house's two-columned entry. Inside, Isabella removes a black-and-white wedding photograph from the wall. Beside it, another old picture displays a class of elementary school children. Wearing a robe, Isabella jogs upstairs with the framed photo. She finds Sonny asleep in bed, then taps his bare chest.
See?
She holds up the photo. Sonny awakens and wraps his arm around her.
Lucinda, somebody's wedding. Everybody's with couples. Husbands and wives, they all pose. But she is the most special.
Isabella rubs her fingers over the figure of an elegant Asian woman standing off to the side. As Isabella settles on a pillow, Sonny smiles at her. Now, as Sonny stands in the shower, water streams down his face. His long, wet hair lies flat against his neck. As he runs his hands through it, his eyes shift thoughtfully. Beyond the shower curtain, a blurred, shadowy figure approaches and whisks it aside. Sonny turns to find Isabella. She steps into the shower, roughly pressing her bare chest to his. They smile, and Sonny wraps his arms around her. As he hugs her close, his smile fades to a distracted stare. Isabella grins at him, and they touch each other's faces. Strands of hair stick to Isabella's sunlit neck and shoulders as they kiss. Their lips part, and she leans back against the polished stone walls. Smiling, she gives Sonny a quick upward nod, and he returns the casual gesture. Later, she dries his long hair with a towel. His gaze lowers sheepishly.
Let's talk a different kind of deal.
In a bathrobe, Isabella eyes Sonny, then turns to a mirror, head lowered. She faces him again with a serious expression.
You pay out zero.
She looks Sonny over.
Is it December?
Why?
Did Christmas come early this year?
No. We become partners on the loads we run. What we want is 25% of that load of product.
They face the mirror together.
And why you're thinking, would I be crazy enough to cut in these gringos like that? It is because Sonny and Ricardo can deliver to me what no one else can. We guarantee loads. Comes up short, we make good. Your operation will run from now on out, risk-free.
She faces him, draping a hand over his shoulder.
And you are the 25% partner? You? What did Eva tell you? Your ideas are too big for your scheme. And merely to propose this is a dangerous thing.
Then I would say to you, this has been fun.
Okay, so?
As they stare into each other's eyes, Sonny falters slightly.
Think of the cash you don't have to front.
Cash? It's not difficult.
As she turns back to the mirror, Sonny rests his cheek against hers.
17.
He smiles and kisses her neck.
I would say you're 5% points away from a deal.
Maybe. I'm only one.
You convince me.
They embrace. Now wind whips through Sonny's hair as his racing boat speeds over the water. Sonny lowers his thick satellite phone. The boat bounces off waves as it heads toward the dimming Miami skyline. Nighttime. Ricardo and Trudy wait on the dock as the racing boat idles up against it. Sonny disembarks and walks off with Ricardo close beside him.
The meeting with Castillo is in 45 minutes.
What's up, Sonny? You okay?
Fine, though.
So where you been?
Had a couple of jazz clubs, fell back to her place.
Where?
Vidado.
Where's Vidado?
Suburbs outside of Havana.
You live in Havana, Cuba?
No, Havana, Louisiana. Can we have a meeting?
You making moves on Montoya's woman?
No.
You're not making moves on her.
We're making moves on each other.
Oh, so that's supposed to make it all right?
They stride into the safe house.
Something like that.
Later on industrial docks, they face Fujima and Castillo.
So what happened to the first load?
Went to Dominica's in New York.
We think load number two is going to our guys. South Florida. They're a big buyer.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. We want to go beyond load number two.
Why are we going exploring?
Who's the we? Only thing you've contributed so far to this is bad intel.
How's that?
Jose Hierro, cocaine producer. Hierro's middle management, part of a bigger transnational operation run by Archangel De Jesus Montoya.
Montoya's the new news. Globalized.
Moving.
Colombian Coke NH, arms from the Ukraine, E from Holland, pirated software from China into Brazil.
What's this got to do with the price of tea in China?
We're seeing their ops. Transpo. You know, money laundering networks.
It would take years to put together a deal like this.
We want to stay under. Run in load number two and keep going. And hold off Boston, the ABs or Euro. We illuminate Montoya's operations from the inside. No one has ever tread before where we are now.
No, the answer is no. We take the Aryan brothers, the shooters, pressure them for the leak. It's a bird in the hand. Now, I'm not changing my op plan for speculation masquerading as intel. Look, I know undercover requires aggression, some outlaw attitude. Now, how else do you lie down with dogs?
Go fuck yourself.
Ricardo frowns at his partner as Sonny and Fujima glare at each other.
You know what this prick's game is? Mm-hmm. Get his picture in the Miami Herald of a quick bust. Save his punk-ass career at the slug farm in D.C. We are not backing off this.
That's it.
Castillo steps in.
Where are you on this?
Ricardo gives Sonny a sidelong glance.
100% with Sonny.
Their superior faces Fujima.
Change the mission statement.
I'll have to run it past my ADO in D.C.
Hey, Slick. Don't try and shine me on. You don't have the time or the skill. If I close this down, I will close it down right now. Then you get sick in Washington.
All right, do it.
Fujima marches off. Castillo glares at his detectives.
You fucking better be right.
Sonny turns from his superior's stern gaze. Ricardo strolls along behind his partner's shoulder.
So what's going on?
As in
there's undercover, and then there is which way is up.
Well, you think I'm in so deep I forgot?
Sonny stops, and the two friends stand face to face.
I will never doubt you.
The partners stride across the deserted parking lot to the Ferrari. In the electric glow of tall light posts, giant loading cranes loom high above stacked freight containers. Now a bird's-eye view sails high above silty water. Farther ahead, the water churns as a river spills over a jagged V-shaped waterfall. The V widens and continues, forming a long crevasse. The river spills down the cliffs into the broken canyon like gash. Billowing mist rises from the sunken river. A lush rainforest chokes the water's edges and stretches to the horizon. Nestled among the jungle, lights glow within a secluded modern mansion. Inside, a chef and two maids work at an island counter. An armed guard opens the door for Isabella, who carries paperwork through the kitchen. In a bedroom, Jesus lounges, sternly watching stock reports on TV and reading a newspaper. Isabella enters and joins him on the bed.
Did you find it?
Yeah. Dominion of Blackstone, hedge funds.
Through Hong Kong Bank?
Yes.
Later.
Ukrainian shipment?
8-ton small arms and RPGs.
Cross-legged, Isabella studies a laptop among papers scattered on the sheets.
Tell me about the deal in South Florida.
They want 18% of the product to bring in notes. They guarantee them. Our risk goes to zero.
And Burnett, what does your intuition tell you?
The drug lord keeps his gaze straight ahead.
My intuition about Burnett? I slept with him in Havana.
Isabella watches Jesus. His stone face remains unflinching.
And?
A serious man. Ambitious. But he has to be watched. After a few good runs, he will renegotiate the deal upwards.
That's my girl. But Jose Hierro thinks you are wrong. On the next floor, he wants to front them silver, but pay them in lead.
The drug lord's eyes shift to Isabella as she quickly looks back at him.
What do you want to do?
She smiles casually and shrugs.
I like the diminished risk. I like businessmen who are competent because you can predict their behavior.
Isabella shifts on the bed, moving in a little closer.
On the other hand, if what you wish is El Plomo, the lead, then do that. After the load is received, we will close the rise forever.
Isabella holds his gaze for a long moment with a solemn face. Jesus barely nods.
We will try a few runs with his partners. I will tell Jose.
Isabella nods with a smirk and returns to her scattered paperwork. Jesus leans forward, taking her arm. Isabella follows into his lap, and he brushes her hair off her shoulder. With their gazes locked, Jesus unzips her sweater and peels it off her shoulder, exposing a thin black bra strap. They slowly lean into a kiss. Isabella grips the headboard. A wide jungle tree towers over them beyond the glass wall. Daytime. A private plane descends for a landing. Words appear. Barranquilla, Colombia. Sonny stands with his arms crossed, peering through sunglasses at the arrival. The plane's hatch swings open, and Isabella steps down, wearing a gray skirt suit. Men in dark suits wait with Sonny at a pair of black SUVs. Isabella marches across the tarmac toward the vehicles. She looks to a secretary following close behind her. The two women split up. As the suited men open the doors to the larger SUV, the secretary lets herself into the smaller one. Sonny and Isabella get in back of the large SUV. In the lavish leather rear seats, Isabella removes her sunglasses and Sonny slouches in the seat beside her. The vehicle starts ahead. As Isabella touches one of many electronic controls surrounding her, a divider with a plasma screen rises between the front and rear seats. As the divider seals off the front cab, Sonny removes his sunglasses. He and Isabella lunge for each other, kissing passionately. They slide down out of the seats. Isabella hikes up her skirt and straddles him as Sonny unfastens his pants. As her pelvis thrusts forward, he leans her back against the divider.
Hola, chica.
Hola, chico.
She smiles breathlessly. Now in a dance club, Yero approaches Ricardo and Trudy at a bar.
Hey, what's up? It's Trudy, my girl.
It's a pleasure.
Hey, nice club.
Yeah, I redid it. And I got places in Medellin, Paz de Iguazu, and Rio.
You like clubs?
Oh, yeah. I'm a disco guy.
Yero faces a bartender.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny and Isabella enter.
In the back.
As Yero leads Sonny, Ricardo, and Isabella away, Trudy watches them leave. Her smile fading, she exchanges glances with the blonde detective who leans on the bar a few stools down. In the back of the club, Yero and the others take seats at a plexiglass table.
In Colón, in Panama, a Malaysian freighter will transfer 8 tons, crates with Roshing marking. Do not open them. The 4,000 keys you move into Miami, you keep and release when we say.
So long as delivery goes down our way.
Yero eyes Sonny wearily, then nods.
Sure. But the crates, they come back to Barranquilla.
You want us to break down the load for different buyers?
No, he's one, my main South Florida guy.
Sonny blinks and his eyes twitch slightly.
Jose, my ace. Skies are crowded, man. AWACS, ICE, DEA, spies in the sky. Do you have any counter intel you can contribute to the good and the welfare?
Sure. Check your email.
Ricardo and Sonny get up. As Ricardo steps away, Sonny helps Isabella out of her chair. Yero watches them leave, then walks away in the opposite direction. His brawny bodyguard follows, glancing back at Isabella and the Americans. Later, Yero crosses the dance floor. Nearing the bar, the drug trafficker checks out the curly-haired blonde. The undercover detective watches him pass. Now Yero joins his brawny thug in an office and lifts a phone. Elsewhere, security guards watch workers bagging shipping debris. As Jesus's black SUV drives through, a thug answers a satellite phone.
Hello.
Habla Yero.
He hands Jesus the phone.
It's Jose.
Jose, what is it?
I don't like the Americans.
Why?
Too good at what they do.
So?
They are wrong. Somehow. Somehow they are wrong.
You ran them. Did you run them?
Yes.
Did they check out?
Yes.
We made their deal. And Isabella disagrees with you.
Frowning, Jesus ends the call and hands the phone back to his bodyguard. In the office, Yero slowly puts down his phone and shifts his gaze to a bank of security monitors. One shows the dance floor where Sonny and Isabella samba. Yero watches Sonny twirl the raven-haired woman under his arm. On the floor, Sonny pulls his dance partner to him, wrapping her in his arms. At the bar, Trudy's concerned gaze fixes on the couple. As they dance, Isabella twirls happily and grins as Sonny pulls her to him. She eases her lips toward his and cradles his face in her long, slender fingers. As Sonny gazes into her eyes, Isabella's open lips lift hungrily toward his. She wraps her arms around his neck and shoulders and kisses him as they whirl in a circle to the music. In a doorway, Yero watches soberly. His dark eyes stare through his narrow tortoiseshell glasses. On the floor, Isabella dances with Sonny behind her, wrapped in his arms. She cranes her neck over her shoulder and kisses him passionately. Yero frowns. Sonny's hand rests on Isabella's flat stomach, below her ample breasts. She holds his touch firmly against her. Yero's eye brims with a tear. Now on the waterfront, Sonny and Isabella walk along a dock.
Once I had a fortune, it said. Leave now, life is short, time is luck.
You got assets somewhere? Insurance.
Why?
Things go wrong, the odds catch up.
Isabella's thoughtful gaze fixes straight ahead, then floats to Sonny's serious expression.
Probability is like gravity. You cannot negotiate with gravity. One day you should just cash out, you know? Just cash out and get out.
Yeah?
Yeah, as far and as fast as you can.
Would you fund me?
Yes, I would.
This is very Cuban, the protective male talking.
This is the talk of a man.
Sonny stops and faces her.
If he were your husband, he would never put you at risk. He would never put you within 1,000 miles of anything that could hurt you.
And where would you be?
While longer still in this business. And then I'd find you.
Would you?
Yes, ma'am.
If you couldn't, I would have left. The only thing I know. Since I was 17.
Isabella's gaze lingers on Sonny's face. She looks away, glancing up and down the harbor. A serious intentness hardens her features as she returns her focus to Sonny.
But none of this will happen. Because what do you see around? Look around you. It's controlled by Arcángel de Jesús Montoya.
They gaze into each other's eyes. Isabella breaks the stare, then walks on ahead, glancing about. As Sonny follows, she turns to face him and walks backward as he catches up. Daytime. At sea, a freighter plows through pristine waves. Atop the bridge, Ricardo leans on a rail with a satellite phone to his ear.
Let me talk to Virginia.
Who's this?
Ricardo.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen, I want you to issue an alert.
An informant has revealed that a freighter
departed Barranquilla for South Florida with plans to transship contraband to Go Fast Boats in broad daylight one day next week off the coast of Miami.
Okay.
For customs, you say Monday. For FBI operations in D.C., you say Tuesday. FBI Miami, you say Wednesday. DEA on Thursday, Coast Guard on Friday. You keep it classified, keep it discreet, keep it out of interagency communications.
Fujima walks through the office wearing a sober expression. Now near a swampy inlet, Sonny waves his hand over his head. On the ship's bridge, Ricardo watches a winch lower a cache of huge wooden crates marked with Slavic words. On a lower deck, Sonny signals, directing the netted sling into a cargo hold. As the crates descend, Sonny stares off. On the bridge, Ricardo cocks his head. Sonny's brow furrows and he squints toward the bridge of another ship, where Isabella shakes hands with a man in a plaid shirt. Leaning on a railing, Sonny lifts his bowed head to see Isabella descending some stairs onto the deck. Later, she follows a bodyguard across the docks. Reaching for her open car door, she glances back at the freighter, clutching some paperwork. Grinning, she gives a head nod to Sonny. Slowing his pace across the ship's deck, he barely returns the gesture. His eyes soften with a slight smile. Casting one last look toward him, Isabella gets in her SUV. Sonny watches it drive off with narrowed eyes. Now in Yarrow's casino office, a computer screen's progress bar glides quickly across its track. Yarrow sits at a desk near a bank of security monitors feeding in footage of the gaming activity. Meanwhile, on the freighter, Ricardo sits on deck with a laptop. He enters a password into an encrypted email window and translates the resulting message from Spanish to English. U.S. assets have been placed on alert to intended transshipment of drug load Tuesday day. Specific about daytime, no details. Modify accordingly. Ricardo closes the laptop, picks up his satellite phone, and joins Sonny, Zito, Switek, and the blonde detective on the upper deck.
Euro hit me back. Says U.S. assets expects our transshipment load on Tuesday day. Tuesday day only went out to FBI operations planning in D.C.
Switek shifts uncomfortably.
So what's up?
Anything could be in those crates at Odessa.
Sonny looks to the blonde detective.
This one has too many moving parts, too many unknowns.
Zito chews gum thoughtfully.
It's your call.
He points to Sonny, who faces Ricardo.
Where are you at? The message from Euro locates the agency and the office where the leak is coming from. I call that progress. So let's take it to the limit one more time.
Peering through his dark shades, Ricardo stares at Sonny. As they look away from each other, the ocean breeze flutters their shirts and Sonny's hair. Nighttime. The freighter's lights shine bright in the darkness. Elsewhere, a black luxury car parks in a driveway. Trudy steps down a front walk flanked by overgrown plants and bushes toward the safe house door. As she stoops with her key at the lock, the bearded Aryan thug springs from the shadows. As Trudy reels, reaching into her coat, a muscular man with a shaved head grabs her from behind. Trudy elbows the big man's chest, and he slugs her with a blackjack. They carry her off, leaving her bags by the door. Now a taped blue bundle glides down a zipline from the freighter to men on a go-fast boat. On the ship's deck, a line of workers hand off another bundle to Ricardo.
Move!
He helps two others clamp the bag onto the zipline and send it off.
Got to go clamp it.
On the go-fast boat, Zito watches the bag sail down the cable. The workers on both crafts move quickly. In the freighter's cargo hold, the workers lift out dozens more bags down the line to the deck. Sonny watches from the bridge. Ricardo looks across the dark water to the go-fast team.
How we looking?
I can take one more.
Good, let's move.
On the ship, men drop another bundle in front of Ricardo, who motions to the go-fast boat.
That's it, take off.
On the go-fast boat, Zito, Switek, and the blonde detective position the final bag. The blonde gets behind the boat's wheel and signals to the freighter. As the go-fast boat turns around in reverse, Sonny steps onto the freighter's bridge and faces a balding man at the controls.
All right, Julio, break the lines and straighten the load.
All right, thanks.
We'll rendezvous in about 8 hours.
Meanwhile, the go-fast boat zips over the waves. Now on a TV screen, black coffee pours into a porcelain cup. A teenage boy sits watching it. Nearby, Trudy groggily lifts her head. Her eyelids flutter, then she squeezes them shut with a pained expression. Behind her, one of the Aryans rubs his shaved head. A pale middle-aged woman in a cotton house dress stares at Trudy as she walks past. She takes a seat near the teenager. Rope binds Trudy's ankles to a chair leg bolted to the floor. As a man blindfolds her, Trudy tries to free her bound wrists. The Aryan turns on a cell phone modified with wires. The man lifts his tattooed arms, stepping behind Trudy, who flinches. He wraps a thick duct-taped cord around her neck like a noose. The middle-aged woman watches nonchalantly. As the tattooed man crosses to a refrigerator, a surveillance camera mounted near the ceiling points toward the prisoner. A black and white view of the kitchen and living room shows the Aryan taking a can from the fridge. Trudy listens. Outside, a plane flies low over a trailer park.
Load it up in a minute.
On the freighter, Ricardo packs a black bag. Beside him, Sonny loads a gun and tucks it behind his back. Meanwhile, in the trailer, Trudy trembles as her Aryan captor leaves a portable TV on her lap. On the ship, Sonny answers his satellite phone.
Yeah.
Will you listen to this?
Who are you? Who is it?
Shut up and listen.
Sonny steps out onto the deck and covers the mouthpiece. Ricardo follows his partner into the bridge. In the trailer, the skinhead kidnapper holds the phone up to the TV.
News in weather today. There's new activity in the tropics. We turn things over to meteorologist Ryan Phillips. What's developing?
Coincidentally, 3 years ago today, July 24th, that's when Hurricane Danny formed out across the Atlantic Basin, and now we have our own tropical troubles. It's Hurricane Ernesto, a category.
Somebody's proven. It's right now.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, thanks.
In the trailer, Trudy trembles in the chair.
Say hello, honey.
Nice frenzy guy. Urban trailer trash with B.O. and a noisy fuck.
The kidnapper smacks her in the head. On the freighter, Ricardo furrows his brow and turns away. Back in the trailer, the skinhead sits on a couch with the phone to his ear. Two cohorts watch Trudy.
Yeah. They know.
Now at a dock, the craggy-faced leader sits in a car near a ship. He dials a satellite phone.
Pay attention. I will now tell you when and how this load will get dropped. This is happening our way.
You have 30 minutes from right now to enter government cut. Head up the Miami River. You have 15 minutes to make it to the First Avenue Bridge.
When you're there, I'll call you with the exact drop point. You fuck up, we fuck her up.
The Aryan ends the call. On the ship, Ricardo shifts on his feet. Now in his casino office, Yero holds a satellite phone.
It's me. We're on.
With a stern gaze, the drug trafficker turns in his chair. Back at the dock, the dark-haired Aryan approaches the leader's car.
What's the deal?
We're doing the deed, 30% off the load.
The emotionless leader chomps on a piece of gum. On the freighter.
Kashi!
Sonny and Ricardo climb down a ladder on the side of the ship. A go-fast boat pulls up alongside. Carrying a black bag, Sonny boards and takes the controls from a crewman. His partner follows with a second bag. As the crewman jumps onto a nearby motorboat, Sonny steers the long, narrow vessel away. Now in the trailer, the cell phone lies attached to a black wired device and a detonator. In the chair nearby, Trudy's lips quiver under her blindfold. Meanwhile, at sea, the go-fast boat cuts a wide turn on the water. Ahead, Miami City lights dot the horizon. The boat skims along the surface, hopping over waves. On board, Sonny and Ricardo wear headsets.
Zito! Zito, you copy?
Zito, Switek, and the blonde ride in their go-fast boat.
Don't hear you go yet!
An aerial view shows Ricardo's boat trailing a short distance behind the first.
Zito, you copy?
Go to Marine 78.
Trails of foaming water stretch behind the swift vessels. As they travel past lit docks, Ricardo's boat draws closer to Zito's.
They took Trudy hostage.
The blonde detective scowls.
What the ass? What do they want?
They want us to drop the load their way. They got eyes on us. We're on a timetable. The next car that we hear will be at the First Avenue Bridge.
Where do we hook up?
Up at the Port Bridge ahead of that. Port Bridge.
The boats speed along the narrow canal side by side.
What did Trudy say? Urban Trailer Park? Did you hear the roar? Were they near a freeway?
No. Airport. Sonny. Rico. Where is the drop site?
We'll know last minute. They got Trudy. Maybe in a trailer park near an airport.
Look for antennas. These guys manage a lot of signal traffic. They will not kill her until they've got the guns.
Once they got the guns, she is dead. When they see the boat, we slow this down by some time.
Did they prove she's alive?
That's the first thing they put through.
In a helicopter, Castillo sits in front of a screen displaying the ground below. As the craft flies over the illuminated city, Castillo faces the pilot.
Try Paradise Trailer Park near the airport.
The helicopter banks to the left. In the water, both go-fast boats steer around the end of a dock. On one boat, Sonny and Ricardo scan the surrounding area intently. Wrinkling his brow, Ricardo shifts his concerned gaze from side to side. In the helicopter.
Sonny, I got a possible. It has three HF antennas. It's on the corner lot at the southeast end.
The screen shows an aerial shot of the Arian's trailer. Now pulling up to a dock, Ricardo tosses the black bags out of the boat and climbs out. The second vessel stops beside the first. As they unload more bags, Ricardo hurries over to a white sedan. Sonny and the blonde detective rush after him. With police assistance, they store their belongings in the trunk and get into the car. As Switek and Zito take control of the go-fast boats, the sedan speeds off in the opposite direction. In one of the boats, Switek steers under a bridge. Now in the back seat of the sedan, the blonde detective preps a rifle. At the wheel, Sonny holds his phone to his ear. Now outside a bank in Geneva, Isabella takes a phone from an associate.
Hello.
Where are you?
Geneva.
Euro's buyer jacked one of our people. What the fuck's going on?
What's he want?
To control the delivery.
It's Euro, not the buyer. He wants to kill you. I do not know what shit he's pulling, okay? But whatever he tells you to do, do not do it.
Isabella gets into the back of a dark chauffeured Mercedes. It speeds off down the road in the white sedan.
So, Jose Hero, you're hitting a rip.
As wipers smear the windshield, the blonde loads another gun. On the water, the go-fast boats move slowly beside a moored ship.
Slow as we can go. 2.5 minutes before we hit the drop site.
Ricardo creeps into the trailer park.
Copy that.
Wearing body armor, he jogs down a dark path behind the blonde detective. Nearby, Sonny passes a mobile home with a rifle in hand. Checking over his shoulder, the detective sneaks forward. Beyond some trees, a hulking skinhead sits guard. He looks out to a dark street nearby. Sonny advances past a graffitied wall. Meanwhile, Ricardo and the blonde detective rush down a path lined with trailers. In a wooded area, Sonny treks stealthily through the trees. In the darkness, the hulking skinhead gets up and scans his surroundings. With his gun raised, Sonny approaches the Arian hideout. To his side, he notices a figure beyond the branches.
Hold it.
As Ricardo stops and hides behind a pole, the blonde detective crouches near a trailer. Sonny creeps behind the hulking skinhead and locks the rifle around his neck. Pulling him to the ground, the detective yanks hard. As the thug tries to pry the weapon from his throat, his face turns red. Holding on tight, Sonny turns him on his side. The skinhead's legs flail. Letting out a breath, his movement ceases. The detective releases his grip and pulls his gun away. Leaving the body behind, Sonny hides behind a tree. He checks out the Arian trailer, then talks into his radio. Behind the hideout, Ricardo moves out of the shadows. The blonde detective rolls underneath the trailer. She turns on a small flashlight and holds it in her mouth. Meanwhile, Sonny keeps a stern eye on the front. Underneath, the blonde drills a hole above her head. Inside the hideout, Trudy sits blindfolded in the chair. As the blonde inserts a small wire camera, a long-haired thug appears on a portable screen. Turning a knob, she focuses on Trudy. Ricardo turns his head.
It's clear. Sonny's in position on the east.
The blonde detective holds up four fingers, then two, then shakes her rifle.
Four people, two shooters.
As Sonny dashes over to the trailer, his female teammate heads around a corner. He squats along a corrugated wall, and she crouches nearby. Ricardo removes his bulletproof vest, grabs a pizza box from a garbage can, and picks up his rifle. He jogs over to the trailer. Zito stands guard at one corner as Ricardo hands his weapon to their blonde teammate. The African-American detective knocks on the door.
Milano's Pizza.
Sonny glances back at him. Ricardo wears a determined scowl.
You order pizza?
Inside.
No.
A scraggly-haired man opens the door. As he reaches for the pizza box, Ricardo yanks him down and kicks him.
Hold it!
The blonde charges inside.
Hold it! Drop the detonator.
Ricardo joins her. The muscular skinhead holds the detonator poised near Trudy's head.
Drop the detonator!
As he strikes a defiant stance, the teen and the pale middle-aged woman look on from behind him. The teen pulls a knife. Behind Ricardo, a goateed Aryan stands. As the detective glances, the teen charges. Ricardo knocks the boy out, then ducks a swing from a baseball bat. The detective grabs the knife and stabs the goateed Aryan. As the criminal tries to crawl away, Ricardo shoots him in the head. He trains his gun back on the muscular skinhead holding the detonator.
Shoot me.
He motions toward Trudy.
She dies. Shoot me. Go ahead. Fuck it, we can all go. That's cool.
That's not what happens. What will happen is, I will put a round at 2,700 feet per second into the medulla at the base of your brain, and you will be dead from the neck down before your body knows it. Your finger won't even twitch. Only you get dead. So tell me, sport, do you believe that?
Hey,
fuck. Blood sprays out the back of his head in a red mist, and he falls dead.
Get down!
The pale woman does as she's told. Ricardo removes Trudy's blindfold, then takes out his walkie-talkie.
We got it.
The blonde detective carefully removes the explosive noose from around Trudy's neck. Ricardo unties her left wrist from the chair. The blonde crosses behind him and sets down her rifle. As she unties Trudy's other wrist, Ricardo tenderly touches his lover's cheek. The blonde detective undoes the last of the knots, then grabs her rifle. As Ricardo helps Trudy up, she lunges for her muscular captor dead on the floor. Ricardo restrains her. Holding her up from behind, he walks her to the door. Now in a shipyard, the lead skinhead hits a key on a laptop, then holds a satellite phone to his ear. Now in Yero's casino.
Maria, ¿qué pasó con este?
Chequeé su trabajo y está corto dinero.
Lo chequeé la otra vez.
Sitting at the bank of security monitors, he answers his phone.
Jose,
those guys in your product are no show.
The trafficker lowers the phone from his ear. He picks up a folded sheet of paper containing a list of info and types on his keyboard. The feed changes on one of the monitors. Back in the trailer, Ricardo faces Trudy.
Stay here. Be clear to him.
Outside.
QTH is C-33. We are in the northeast corner of the trailer park.
Ricardo exits.
Clear!
The blonde tosses him a rifle. They split up. Sweat beads on Sonny's face as he guards the perimeter. The blonde detective moves behind a telephone pole. Back in the trailer, Trudy slips the blindfold off of her head. Now in his club security room, Yero dials a cell phone. The monitor behind him shows the dead skinhead on the trailer floor.
Maria.
He sets down the cell phone. Now Trudy exits the trailer, her eyes black and blue. Meanwhile, Yero presses a button on his cell. Now the phone detonator blinks on. The trailer explodes. It knocks Ricardo and Sonny off their feet. Trudy flies face down onto the lawn, ripping up the soil from the impact. Fiery debris rains all around her, and the back of her hair smolders. Ricardo races to her side. He frantically brushes her hair back from her face. He rolls her onto her back and picks her up.
Get out of the car! I already called the medic!
Sonny runs to a squad car and gets behind the wheel. Ricardo races over with Trudy in his arms. The blonde detective helps him lay Trudy down in the back seat. He climbs in with Trudy. The car speeds off, leaving Castillo on the scene, a rifle in hand. Now, surgeon's hands work behind plastic sheeting as Trudy lies unconscious with an air tube taped to her mouth. A doctor twists a syringe into an IV tube. In the waiting room, Switek, Zito, Castillo, and the blonde detective gather tensely. Standing against a wall, Sonny faces Ricardo, who glowers.
You know what gets me?
His head hangs low in a pensive stare.
The prospect of her losing her life. Of her losing her life over this bullshit line of work.
Is that what she thinks?
Nah, that's what I do. If you tell me, Rico, I ain't playing, this is real. Same as you, no less than you.
Behind a window, three doctors exit a room and approach. Wearing scrubs, they pull down their surgical masks.
She's in recovery. She has burns to 15% of her body. We're going to keep her totally sedated with a complete muscle relaxant.
The team listens soberly.
She's in a coma.
And her right lung has collapsed. Burst spleen.
What's the chances?
Brain swelling worries us the most.
You relieve the pressure?
Not surgically. It's too diffuse. And any complication, an infection, and she's...
The doctor purses his lips.
She's in bad shape.
Ricardo hangs his head. Now in an office, Yero faces Jesus and a half-dozen armed men.
I will recover the load, but...
All I know is we don't have our load. The Americans have our load. So I plead with you to look at this.
He gestures to a laptop computer on a varnished desktop behind him.
Go ahead.
Yero opens the laptop, presses a key, and folds his arms. Jesus gets up from another desk and approaches on a red carpet. He gives his subordinate a cold glance, then stares at the screen. His thick beard frames his frowning lips.
Do you see this?
On the screen, the surveillance video from the nightclub plays in slow motion as Isabella and Sonny dance lovingly. Yero leans a few inches closer to his boss.
This is not casual.
He glances at the laptop, then turns away from the powerful drug lord and leans back against the desk. Jesus stands frozen, light catching the back of his dark button-down shirt. A bald spot crowns his head of dark gray wisped hair. Now in a parking lot, Sonny shuts the trunk of a police cruiser. Wearing his badge on a neck chain, he carries two automatic rifles and a duffel bag to the trunk of another car. He stows the gear. Sonny removes an elastic band from his ponytail. He answers his satellite phone.
Yeah.
You okay? I heard some bad shit happened with the Gracie Weiss at a trailer park.
Sonny shuts the trunk. As he steps around the car, he wipes his brow, then pauses with his hand on his hip.
Cut the grab.
You got my product, man.
The mustache detective hangs his head and nods.
You got my money.
That's right.
Here's the deal.
We have a deal.
Here's a new deal. Cash money. Three a key times 4,000 keys is 12 mil. And we ain't waiting for a back nine.
We had a different deal.
This is the only deal. Or else I offload your shit to some other buyer. Mail your refund. Maybe.
On the other end, Yero glowers.
Okay, man, let's do this.
He stares intently.
And I want you there. None of your Peckerwood proxies.
I'm out of town.
I'll wait.
Why?
Sonny glances off.
Because if you're there, guarantees it's for real.
Tomorrow night,
I be there. We call you at the place. You got my number?
Sonny hangs up. Now in the hospital, Castillo uses his cell phone.
Now we'll follow up with the ME, identifying all the DNA samples.
He hangs up as Sonny approaches.
Euro's coming back to the U.S. to recover his product. He's coming back himself.
Ricardo straightens, his face austere. The blonde detective looks to Castillo.
How do we deal? How do we do a deal? How's anybody going to believe anybody after tonight?
Nobody does. He's compelled. We got his 4,000 keys worth $60 million at wholesale.
That's right.
The blonde detective looks from Sonny to their boss.
Now, here's what's going to happen. They will change out the place at the last minute, so we can't set up on them.
And it'll be a no-shaped ambush.
Castillo nods.
I run it. They won't initiate until they got eyes on the product. And I won't let the product come in until we got their shooters in our sights. And you have cover.
Okay.
I don't care how much we want this guy.
Ricardo gives him a sober look. Sonny shifts.
Clear?
Yeah.
Castillo watches Ricardo stride off. Now Trudy lies unconscious in her hospital bed. Deep gashes mar her eye and cheek. Ricardo watches as nurses tend to her. His eyes glisten with tears, and he holds one of her gauze dressings. Now Isabella storms into Yarrow's office in a suite.
What shit have you pulled? You know what Jesus will do, right?
Yes, I do.
Kakia Nolasti.
Do you want to call him?
Yarrow's brawny thug shoots her bodyguard in the head. The broad-shouldered man puts his gun away.
You're all mine now.
Isabella glares at the trafficker. Yarrow eyes her coolly from behind his desk. Now Sonny jiggles the slide of a pistol. Behind him, Ricardo and the rest of the team ready weapons and equipment.
Set down.
Yeah.
The blonde wipes down a pistol.
Badges get flashed, guns come out. Rescue men. That's what we do.
Sonny and Ricardo lean on a table outside an airfield hangar.
So? Fabricated identity. What's really up? Collapsing into one frame.
He stares at his long-haired partner.
You ready for that on this one?
I absolutely am not.
He looks Ricardo squarely in the eyes.
So why are you at with it?
I'm with her 100%.
Ricardo furrows his brow, then glances off in thought.
She could be a white-collar money manager. She may even be true love. But she's with them.
Sonny nods slightly.
Like Trudy would say, I ain't playing.
Ricardo creases his lips and looks away with a troubled stare. Sonny runs his fingers down the sides of his Fu Manchu mustache.
Time.
Sonny reaches for the table.
Let's do this.
He racks the slide on his pistol. Now, out in the night air, the dark-haired Aryan waits. A paunchy mustached man in a gray suit holds a high-powered rifle. As a nearby ship drifts past a tower, a tattooed hand loads bullets into a magazine, snaps it in a rifle, and cycles the chamber. A sniper takes aim in the shadows. Inside a vehicle, the craggy-faced skinhead answers a satellite phone.
Yeah.
I'm on them. They're clean.
Now outside a building fronted by four tall columns, Sonny and Ricardo sit in a parked car.
What's up?
The location got changed. Bojean Shipyard, 27th and the River.
The lead skinhead hangs up his phone and sets it on the dash. Sonny and Ricardo share a look and bump fists. Now the headlights of their white BMW turn on, as do the lights of a car behind them. As the BMW pulls onto a deserted street, the dark sedan follows. Now in the shipyard, the lead skinhead and his thugs wait outside their vehicles. On a nearby ship, a sniper aims through a railing's bars, hidden beneath a tarp. Elsewhere, the white BMW leads the dark sedan off a paved road and into the shipyard's gravel clearing. The two cars park facing away from each other, forming a wide V. Sonny and Ricardo step out of the BMW. Carrying a rifle, Ricardo heads across the clearing toward the Aryans. As Sonny follows, Switek, Zito, and the blonde detective step out from the dark sedan. From a high vantage point, Castillo watches through binoculars.
I can't find the shooters. Stall.
Copy that.
As a sniper peers through his scope, the blonde detective waits behind the dark sedan's open driver's side door. Ricardo and Sonny stride toward the Aryans.
Where's the product?
Where's the money?
How do I know what you say is there?
Here's how that works.
Somebody from my side lays eyes on the money. Only then do we call in the dope. Then somebody from your side can go look at the product.
The money's right here. So send somebody over.
Can't find the shooter.
Castillo eyes a black and white view of the area through a scope. Behind the Aryan thugs, Yarrow emerges from the shadows.
Where's Yarrow?
Right here. And I brought your friend. Oye, mano, she mine now.
Yarrow's brawny thug pulls Isabella by the arm.
Jesus gave her to me to ask questions and find out interesting things.
Sonny glares.
We a couple now. After work, she and me go catch a movie and grab a bite.
Yarrow strides forward, wearing a confident smirk.
When I get tired, I throw her away. Her leg in one place, her head someplace else. Did you guys ever see that?
Sonny trembles, staring wide-eyed.
Anyway, she here now to make sure everything go right.
As Sonny shifts on his feet, the lovers share a worried look. Meanwhile, Castillo's scope scans the shipyard.
Still no shooter.
My guy. Show him the money.
The lead skinhead steps forward.
I don't want him.
What? What difference does it make, Sonny?
Listen to me, asshole. I do not want that motherfucker near me. You want to see your dope? You send Isabella.
Sonny cocks his head confidently.
Where he travels.
Isabella stares at him, her lips parted. Yarrow shifts his gaze to her. She rolls her head toward him, glaring. As she takes a step, the bearded thug pulls her back.
Stay here, bitch.
She unholsters his gun and pistol whips him. Yarrow's brawny thug holds her as she struggles in his grip.
Let her go.
The thug loosens his hold and shoves Isabella forward. Yarrow waves his hand dismissively.
Check the door. Then come right back.
Isabella stares off, her eyes glistening. Switek waits behind Sonny and Ricardo. Steeling herself, Isabella strides forward. On the nearby ship, the sniper aims his rifle. Sonny motions for Switek to wait, then ushers him forward. The stocky undercover officer heads across the clearing. As he and Isabella pass each other, she glances over her shoulder at him. Tightening her lips, she continues towards Sonny and Ricardo. Above, Castillo still scopes the area.
Got one.
In his black and white view, a figure glows red. On a roof, a police sharpshooter aims.
On the container. Hold it.
He gets an Aryan sniper in his sights. Meanwhile, Switek walks past the lead skinhead. Sonny positions Isabella behind him and walks her toward the BMW. On the ship, the sniper removes the tarp.
I got number two. Courtside, third deck, middle of the superstructure.
Another police sharpshooter adjusts his aim.
Fire.
Sonny and Isabella duck. The police sharpshooters take out the two Aryan snipers. As gunfire breaks out on both sides, Yarrow ducks behind a car and fires a machine gun over the trunk. Switek fires through an SUV's back window, taking out its driver and splattering blood on the windshield. As the Aryan thugs take up positions and fire automatic weapons, Sonny aims over the hood of his BMW. Firing back, an Aryan takes out the car's headlight. Sonny pops up and nails him in the chest. As the thug collapses, a few drops of blood splatter our view. The bearded thug's machine gun spews shells as he fires. Nearby, Yarrow gets off a few rounds, then ducks back behind the car's trunk. Zito fires on them, crouched down beside the dark sedan. From behind the SUV, Switek shoots another Aryan. Muzzle flashes brighten the shipyard in all directions. As the blonde detective fires her automatic weapon over her open car door, Zito hustles around front, staying low. He takes cover behind a stack of industrial tires. From his new position, he fires at the Aryans.
Go!
As Zito covers her, she joins him behind the tires. Bullets riddle an SUV beside the lead skinhead. Sonny waves his hand.
Go!
Ricardo hustles around a small trailer, his weapon at the ready. Meanwhile, Yarrow and Sonny exchange gunfire. As Yarrow keeps his focus down at his weapon, Ricardo hurries behind a nearby pile of scrap, unnoticed. Sonny scampers out from behind the BMW and takes a closer position behind a freight container. Isabella stays put, watching tensely.
No!
The blonde detective covers Zito as he runs out from behind the stacked tires. An Arian's bullet hits him in the leg. As blood spurts from the wound, he goes down. Zito rolls away from a spray of more bullets. Now, from behind the freight container, Sonny draws the bearded thug's attention away from the blonde detective. Ricardo sneaks around behind the thug and shoots him in the back. Meanwhile, lying in the gravel, Zito removes his belt and cinches it around his thigh. Dust clouds the air as bullets rake the ground nearby. As one thug steps out for a better shot, the blonde detective and Sonny gun him down. Yero lowers his weapon and squints skyward. Overhead, a helicopter aims a searchlight. The shadows of running SWAT members sweep across a wall, entering the shipyard. Spotting them, Sonny exposes his badge and uses a radio. The lead skinhead fires wildly, spraying bullets from left to right. Isabella lifts her head for a look at Sonny, but quickly ducks back against the BMW. She glances behind her, then does a double take. Light glints off Sonny's police badge as he speaks into the radio. Meanwhile, the brawny thug pulls Yero away from the gunfight. As the drug trafficker hurries off, Ricardo goes after him. He shoots down one Arian, then hustles over a large piece of machinery. The brawny thug spots him, but Ricardo shoots before the thug gets the chance to aim. As the brawny thug goes down in a pink mist, Yero fires at Ricardo. The undercover officer dodges and aims a grenade launcher. It blows a hole through Yero's chest, splattering his guts on the hull of the docked ship behind him. Ricardo gets to his feet and starts forward. Isabella peers out from behind the white BMW. In the distance behind her, armed agents make their way across the gravel. Isabella stares intently ahead, her back to the reinforcements. In slow motion, Sonny shouts orders from behind the freight container. Isabella gets to her feet and progresses toward him, her gaze transfixed. She glances into the light, her face sweaty, then charges.
Who are you?
She grabs Sonny and they wrestle into the open. As Sonny carries Isabella behind the container, two thugs fire. The gunshots ricochet off the metal. Zito fires at the thugs, picking one off. Now the craggy-faced skinhead spots Isabella and Sonny struggling into plain sight again. As he lines up a shot, Sonny lurches backward. The skinhead re-aims as they fall, but Sonny fires under the SUV. He hits the lead skinhead's ankle and drops him. Now, as he keeps Isabella pinned between his legs, he aims at the leader. He puts two dime-sized holes in the criminal's head. Now Sonny gets up, covered in dust, and yanks a resistant Isabella to her feet. As Ricardo returns to the clearing, he glimpses his partner leaving with the woman. He notices Sonny's firm grip on Isabella's wrist as the woman moves off half-cooperatively. Now Sonny halts at the bullet-riddled BMW and peers back to Ricardo. At Ricardo's single nod, Sonny and Isabella hustle past the Beamer and several police cars. Sonny opens the passenger door to the dark sedan and urges Isabella to sit. She obeys. As he races to the driver's side, he notices the blonde detective and Switek crouching over Zito on the ground.
Zito?
Yeah, he's okay.
As they tend to their colleague, the dark sedan backs away from the shootout scene. More police cars arrive, their roof lights flashing as the dark sedan reverses out of sight. Later, driving, Sonny inhales on a sneer as he grips the wheel. Next to him, Isabella gazes tearfully out the passenger side window. Sonny runs his hands through his hair. Now, passing streetlights along a city artery by night become dark treetops along a country road at dawn. Later still, the dark sedan's headlights gleam on approach over a concrete bridge. The railing looks out over a modest seaside house tucked among palm trees. The sedan parks on the sandy driveway. Brightening clouds appear smudged in the morning sky. Sonny gets out. A view from inside the Stark house shows Sonny and Isabella climb steps onto a patio. Their advancing forms darken a glass-paned door. Then Sonny opens it and directs Isabella inside.
What is this?
It's a house we use.
Sonny doffs his badge at a supply table. As Isabella paces at the door, Sonny uses his phone.
Gloria, Sonny, it's Frank Rowe.
He watches Isabella stride briskly across the room.
All right, just get him to call me right back.
Now at Jesus' jungle mansion, armed troopers in fatigues peer inside through glass doors. Empty chairs face a newspaper spread out on a table. More troops peer into a room devoid of furniture. Back in the dining room, one chair lies on its side by newspaper on the floor. As the troopers infiltrate, more views show scant debris and bare bookshelves. Now in Florida, Sonny exits the modest safe house and crosses the beachfront patio toward Isabella. He sits next to her on the steps. Isabella ignores him, keeping her gaze on the horizon.
A man named Frank is going to come in a boat.
She looks at him.
He will run you into Cayos or Veno, and from there you can find your way to Havana. And nobody will follow you.
Isabella turns her mournful gaze to the sea. Sonny hangs his head.
Including me.
Both of them peer out toward the water. As Sonny squints in the breeze, Isabella studies him, then redirects her gaze forward. She stiffens her chin and nods meagerly.
Remember, I said, time is luck.
Yeah. Luck run out.
Isabella nods, then looks off, her chin trembling. Sonny scratches his head.
This was too good to last.
Sonny's rugged profile eclipses all but Isabella's nose and lips. As a breeze teases their hair, Isabella nods, then rests her head on him. Sonny holds her close, his hand gripping her shoulder. His fingers touch her cheek, and she strokes his chest. Now she lies cradled in his arms, and they share tender caresses. Now an IV tube dangles by its stand. Ricardo sits beyond it, asleep in a chair. On the hospital bed, his arm rests on the edge of the mattress, his fingers touching Trudy's. Back in the Florida safe house, pillows and rumpled sheets line an empty bed. Nearby, the patio door hangs open. Outside, Isabella stands solemnly on a boat, her slender form framed by two palm trees. Her departing view takes in Sonny on shore. A palm tree passes between them, and Isabella's lips hold a pained frown. As she steps to the moving boat's stern, drawing out the fleeting moment, Sonny follows a few paces after her on shore. He touches his lips, then lets his hand drop. Back in the hospital, Trudy's hand moves under Ricardo's. He stirs awake and watches the comatose woman carefully. Finding nothing unusual, he slumps back heavily and bows his head. Trudy's hand takes his more firmly, and he looks up with a start. His badge dangles from his neck chain as he leans close to his beloved.
Nurse?
As a nurse approaches, Trudy rolls her slumbering head and furrows her brow. Outside the safe house, Sonny slowly turns away from the coastline and starts toward the car. As he shoots a glance over his shoulder, Isabella watches, unblinking, from the departing boat. On shore, the dark sedan pulls away, turning down the sandy drive. In the hospital, Trudy opens her eyes. At her side, her hold on Ricardo's loving hand tightens. Now Isabella turns her gaze away from the receding safe house. A tear rests partway down her cheek as she peers sternly forward. Now, in darkness, Sonny hurries across a paved lot, wearing his badge around his neck. He passes two hospital staffers by a parked fire truck and marches steadily toward an open service door. Cut to black. Now a title appears in a neon blue box, Miami Vice. Credits, written and directed by Michael Mann. Produced by Michael Mann, Peter Janbrugge. Executive producer, Anthony Yurkovich. Based on the television series created by Anthony Yurkovich. Director of photography, Dion Beebe, ACS, ASC. Production designer Victor Kempster. Editors William Goldenberg, ACE, Paul Rubel, ACE. Costume designers Janty Yates, Michael Kaplan. Co-producers Brian H. Carroll, Usamo Cesaretti, Michael Waxman. Music by John Murphy, Jamie Fox, Colin Farrell, Gong Lee, Naomi Harris, Ciaran Hines, Justin Theroux, Barry Shabaka Henley, Luis Tosar, John Ortiz, Elizabeth Rodriguez, Dominic Lombardozzi, Eddie Marsan, Isaac DeBancole, John Hawks. Casting by Francine Maisler, CSA. A Universal Pictures presentation in association with Motion Picture ETA Production Gesellschaft MBH & Company, KG, a Forward Pass production. Unit production managers Wayne Morris, Peter Janbrugge. First Assistant Director Michael Waxman. Second Assistant Directors Allison Rosa, Jeff Okabayashi. Visual Effects Supervisor Robert Stad. Cast: Colin Farrell as Sonny Crockett, Jamie Foxx as Ricardo Tubbs, Gong Li as Isabella, Naomi Harris as Trudy Joplin, Ciaran Hines as FBI Agent Fujima, Justin Theroux as Zito, Barry Shabaka Henley as Castillo, Luis Tosar as Montoya, John Ortiz as Jose Yero, Elizabeth Rodriguez as Gina Calabrese, Dominic Lombardozzi as Switek, Eddie Marsan as Nicholas, Isaac DeBancole as Neptune, John Hawks as Alonzo Stevens, Tom Towles as Coleman, Mario Ernesto Sanchez as El Tiburon, Frankie J. Allison as Deep-Chested Aryan Brother, Anthony Curran as Aryan Brother, Stephen Jones as Dark-Haired Aryan Brother, Rob Larson, Don Fry as Long-Haired Aryan Brothers, Maxim Danilov, Pasha D. Lynchnikov as Russian FBI Agents, Anna Cristina de Oliveira as Female Bartender, Everlane Borges as Miss Cuba, Juanita Bilyeu as Miss Jamaica, Patrick Michael Buckley as Air Traffic Controller, Mark McCauley as Air Traffic Supervisor, Mike Panewski, Vivian Sendai Diego as ER Doctors, Richard Katanga as Haitian Paramilitary Captain, Dexter Fletcher as Haitian Paramilitary, Oleg Taktarov as Russian Security, Alexander Rafalski, Ian Kriegsfield as Isabella's Security, Juliana Guedes as Isabella's Secretary, James Maurice Rowan Jr. as Guy in Double Wide Trailer, Deborah Demare as Woman in Double Wide Trailer, Abdel Tornes as The Courier, Maria Leon as Casino Office Worker, Kenny Acevedo as FBI Agent, Julia Yarborough as Herself, Ryan M. Phillips as Newscaster, Amir Avaram as Guy Hitting on Gina, Julie Piridabenseva as Blonde Talking to Tubbs, Gilbert Quintana as Marine Shed Guard, Ebony E. Nichols as Dancer, Stunt Coordinator Artie Molesky, Aerial Coordinator and Pilot Craig Hosking, Stunts Alexander Alonso, J.M. Moore, Kevin Ball, Juan Bofill, Jennifer Budhu, Brock Catronio, Adam C. Zileski, Eric Dale, Scott Dale, Ubaldo Del Toro, Level Dorgies, Victor Espinosa, Courtney Faison, Denise Gallo, Joey Giordano, Ralph Gonzalez, Tom Harper, Ron Henry, Phil Hotchler, Brandy Jacobs, Scott Sly Lewis, Jaleel J. Lynch, George Taco Mania Tacos, Zachary Mann, Eric Matushik, L.P. McElhaney, Angela Merle, Richard Mihalik, Fernando Montalvo, Robert Patrick Nagel, Cord Newman, Christopher Parker, Manny Perry, J.C. Robina, John Rotger, David Rowden, Ron Russell, Dave Scott, Lorenzo Toledo, Amy Tumberlin, John Tomlinson, Turk Tindall, Kyle Woods, Boni Yanagisawa. Additional music, Klaus Badelt, King Britt with Tim Motzer, Mark Batson, Organized Noise. Executive in charge of music for Universal Pictures, Kathy Nelson. Associate producers, Wayne Morris, Sarah Bradshaw. Executive for Forward Pass, Maria Norman. Supervising art director, Seth Reed. Art director, Carlos Menendez. Assistant art directors, Aaron Rio Mann. Senior set designer, Mark Garner. Set designers, Ryan Heck, Jeffrey S. Grimsman. Illustrator, Kasra Farahani. Graphic designer, Martin T. Charles. Art Department Coordinator, Catherine Wilson. Art Department Production Assistants, Martha Mitchell, Michelle Collier, Kate Bergauer. Supervising Location Manager, Janice Polly. Set Decorator, Jim Erickson. Assistant Set Decorator, Kevin Kropp. Lead Men, Christopher Neely, Steve Durante. Swing Gang, Will A. Brantley, Patrick Calabresi, Edwin Santiago, Fred Schwendel, Rick Roberts. On-Set Dresser, Eric Luling. Set Deck Buyer, Rosa Paloma. Set Deck Coordinator, Amanda Crockett. soundtrack album on Atlantic Records. One of These Mornings, written and produced by Moby, performed by Moby featuring Patti LaBelle. Anthem, written and performed by Moby. Shape of Things to Come, written by Chris Cornell, Tim Comerford, Tom Morello, Brad Wilk, performed by Audio Slave. Wide Awake, written by Chris Cornell, Tim Comerford, Tom Morello, Brad Wilk, performed by Audio Slave. Auto Rock, written by Francis Burns, performed by Mogwai. We're No Here, written by Francis Burns, performed by Mogwai. In the Air Tonight, written by Phil Collins, performed by Nonpoint. Ready for Love, written by Blue Miller, India RE, performed by India.RE. Numb Encore, written by Sean C. Carter, Kanye Omari West, Mike Shinoda, Brad Delson, Chester C. Bennington, Robert G. Borden, David Farrell, Joseph Hahn, performed by Jay-Z, Linkin Park. One of These Mornings, written by Moby, performed by Patti LaBelle. Sinner Man, Felix de Housecat's Heavenly House Mix, arranged by Nina Simone, performed by Nina Simone. Blacklight Fantasy, written by Freaky Chakra, performed by Freaky Chakra. Strict Machine, We Are Glitter Goldfrapp Mix. Written by Allison Goldfrapp, William Owen Gregory, Nick Batt, performed by Goldfrapp. Aranka, written by Brigida Soto Bermudez, performed by Manzanita. Sweep, written by Tobias Wilner, Bo Randy, Christine Stubbe Chegelberg, Martin Gell, performed by Blue Foundation. Pennies in My Pocket, written by Emilio Estefan, Randall Barlow, Lisa Quintana, Gianmarco Zignago, performed by Emilio Estefan. New World in My View, written by King James Britt, Tim Motzer, performed by King Britt and Sister Gertrude Morgan. Fate Scrapes, from the motion picture Heat, written and performed by Elliot Goldenthal. P is for Piano, written by Robert Del Naja, Neil Davidge, performed by John Murphy. Daniel, from the motion picture Collateral, written by James Newton Howard. Copyright 2006, Motion Picture ETA Production Gesellschaft MBH & Company KG and Universal Studios, all rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 1997, Universal Studios. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Universal Pictures. Read by Miles Neff. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. This motion picture has been rated R, restricted by the Classification and Rating Administration. Under 17 requires accompanying parent or adult guardian.